in five chapters, which are four fundamental, one that can be a little bit extra. We started with the first chapter, is okay, is the architectural soil, and we also did the filamentous, and also we did the wall section. Very briefly, this is for the sake of you and for the sake of Valerio, that is, Valerio has been with me for many, many years, so he's a big, Valerio, Professor Valerio Perna, he's been with me many years, so it's a pleasure for him to share this with him. He knows well, and it's the first time that you really are going so deep in Eric Miralles, so it's a whole new thing. And so the first chapter, we call it Architectural's Ground, and we did, and this is the filamentous, is the second chapter that we did. The wall as a section is the third chapter, and today we go really, really deep in the masterpiece of Enrique Miralles and Benedetta Tagliabue, that is the Mercato of Santa Caterina. We really go deep, deep on this, and then we have a small touch in the about these small other projects. So we have others, and mainly in the afternoon or a part of the afternoon, it depends, we start to organize the workshop. Okay, so we start to organize what people would like to do, how we organize the group, so we can start with that. So basically the lecture will be mainly the morning and, if necessary, a little bit of the afternoon, but we will see. I think I will try to concentrate in the morning. Very, very briefly, the architectural soil, to understand what was going on there, we have to a little bit to speak about Barcelona, to show that really Enrique Miralles was cannot be understood, his architecture and his creativity and vitality, without the fact that all his generation was the generation that was coming out of the dictatorship of Franco. So in architecture, as well as in the arts, as well as in the cinema, there is a lot of energy that came out of this finishing of the dictatorship. So that was an important part. We talk a little bit about his master, Viaplana and Pignon. He stayed 10 years with him. We discuss differences in the relationship between architecture and ground, architecture and soil, starting from Le Corbusier, of course, and Eisman and Adid and Gehry, to really understanding what type of cultural milieu Enrique Miralles moved. For the first 10 years, he worked with the first wife, this is Carmen Pinos, and then we discussed this project, and we saw that in this little project that is actually his first, there are techniques that is very good to keep in mind. To many of us will happen one time or the other to create a characterization of a space, of a public space, and pergolas, and that is a very simple but very interesting and dynamic way to deal with the thing. Can you please turn off the light for me? Thanks a lot. And then we talk about these two major works that are in Barcelona. Perfetto. No, no, togli tutto. Se possibile. It's not so easy, I realize. Okay. And we talk about these two works, and particularly this. I looked for other... I know. It's not... I know. I already... So we can live with that. But I know it's not that easy. Also, another thing that cannot be, you cannot understand Miralles if you don't understand the strong liaison with the world of art, of the art as an expression, and the kind of overlapping, welcome, the type of overlapping between art and this search in architecture. We talked about shortly about Robert Smithson and I looked a little more tonight or this morning, and he also mentioned James Turrell, and I found this work of Turrell with there are art that is often called landscape art. You know, during the 70s, start to develop this type of art, and in some cases are action in the landscape. So you can kind of feeling, you know, look at some ideas of the filamentos, how it can be related to that. But then he does not mention Enrique Miralles, probably did not know, but one artist that is crucial, probably, or very close, is Gordon Matta-Clark. Is anybody of you ever heard about Gordon Matta-Clark? Who knows what? Gordon Matta-Clark is, again, an artist that died very, very young, but is very interesting in that moment, because Gordon Matta-Clark was working with the existing structures. He was making existing homes or structures that were close to be turned down. Very in the moment that they were starting to turn down, something that is much more common in the United States, that is a place in which all neighborhood will be turned down, etc. So you use those settings as a setting for art action. So in this case, it's not the landscape, it is really the built environment, and he went there with all the type of the tools of a masonry, and basically he cut things or create views, or so he's operating in the existing structures like a place in which aesthetic action can take place. So, of course, you can imagine was a young and very strong person. Almost he was doing this with his body. His body is also, it's like a mentoring work, you know. So it's a fantastic work, this one of Gordon Matta-Clark. Extremely interesting. And he was, you know, a young person. He was in his 20s. He died very young. So Gordon Matta-Clark showed one aspect that will become very, 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 very relevant in the work that we are looking today. It's another small component. That idea that things are, there is not a status of things that is always that. The status of things is continuously changeable, is continuously remanipulated. And actually, through that operation of remanipulation, we will gain new vision, new understanding, and we'll even give again kind of meaning of something that otherwise would have been just considered a dead. So that is a kind of operation that is extremely interesting, and I remember that I did not mention yesterday, and I think it is instead very interesting to remember that. Again, you understand that in my method it's very important that I put down the name in the so all these things are like passwords, because in the moment in which you know Gordon Matta-Clark, we are not in the 70s that you have to go in a library and find the book, it was all things. Today is enough that you know Gordon Matta-Clark, and that is almost done, you know, because you can go Wikipedia, you can find books, you can find images, etc. Particularly though, the thing of Gordon Matta-Clark, you have to write it down, because I did not have the time to actually, I had a problem with my server in Rome, so I could not put these things, but I put all the audio there. So we talk of the cemetery, and we talk about this other project. It's extremely interesting because it's a project similar to Aniene, what we do along the river. This is a very interesting project to study for you also that works there, because it's one project in which Miralles takes also attention to the whole water system, you know, how the water system are interrelated with the landscape. And the other one is Athens City is also did the landscaping of Athens City. So there are two cases in which his work overlap with the system of water. So this project can be studied. I think he's only fine, I look at it again, he's only in the croquis. I don't know if he's in that issue that we have. Okay, and then this other part, the filamentous, yesterday, this is too much fun, so sorry. But today,
the filamentous.
Okay.
The filamentous.
Okay, it exists, the word, and I was thinking that to have invented the word in Italian, actually I did not. It exists in English. I used that, okay, but here there is something wrong though. Okay, fine. Not only in art, but we discover certain drawing and certain concept diagrams in which that idea is so clear. You know, it's not only the landscape, it's also that kind of technique, in a way, that he's using. And the idea of the filamentous goes a lot when he does open space architecture. He does several, five or six. This is in Madrid. And we discussed also how this issue was able to work as a multifunctional events in the space. First of all, clearly aesthetic. Secondly, there is a kind of liaison between landscape, forces, etc. And so we talked about that. And in several issues, he used that technique. This is a detail of Athens City. And then we discuss more about this case of the architecture, an architecture that in some way is related to that idea of the filamentous, is also related to the idea of the ground, and the filamentous actually becomes not only way to create the open space, but also, as you clearly see, way to characterize the construction. And then we discuss about that. Okay, and then the third and last part, we developed this idea. Valerio, I don't know if we never ever talked about this, probably no, is the idea that actually when you see cracks in the landscape, like canyons, you really understand that the crack is a section, okay? But at the same time, the crack is a wall. So this brings the idea that the wall is not a surface, but is a crack. And if it is that, it's basically an overlapping of things, like a geological section at the same time. So all that idea brings the idea that the wall is not a surface, like the neoplastic thinking was, or like Le Corbusier thinking was, or a plane, but exactly the opposite. It is a section. It is a place where many things can be revealed as some time of geological section, in a way. And that was proved by this image, in which I found one of the old Indians' walls facing the cracks, let's say the canyon cracks. And then this is another image, just to go with that idea. And that is another one in which it is clear that the wall is a kind of a stratification, a layering things. So this idea is not expressed in any part by Miralles, but I think it's a good way to look at what he does in the walls, in some types. In some cases, like in this project, there is a kind of obsession in studying the walls as some type of idea like that. Like a place of stratification, a place of things that are happening, and not an homogeneous surface, etc. And this kind of sub-theme comes in many cases. In many cases, when he has to deal with wall per se, he uses that idea. Although that idea is not something that you may quote Miralles to say, but I like to to tell that he's like thinking of the wall of us as a section. It's a way to, it's a critical thing. And then we talk about the Shanghai Pavilion of 2012, in which all the team became very strong, and also the architecture was an important one. It won the prize of the best pavilion in the Shanghai exhibition, and that is done in 2010, already 10 years after the death of Miralles, that, as we know, he died at 45. But the work was continuous by these women, Benedetta Tagliabue, and it was the wife of Miralles, has showed a very, very outstanding capability to carry on that work. That is very rare, actually, that happened. Very, very rare. If I think of major studios that continue with the same strength or even more strength after the death of the founder, I really cannot think of anyone that had that strength. If I think of Kahn, or if I think of Frank Lloyd Wright, a little bit the Kevin Roche activity after Saarinen, but was not the name of Saarinen anymore. It is rather rare. You know, generally when the great architect died, the office died, normally. Instead, this is one case in which not only the office did not die, but in a way the achievement that Benedetta was able to get were everything considered superior than in the phase in which Enrique was alive. Of course, some were projects that they've done when Enrique was alive, like this one. But basically, it was finished, all the actual transformation was happened in the 6 years after he died. So, the more I think that this is really a key work, is a really an incredible masterpiece. Of course, I knew that was an important work. I knew that was an important work. The work it is in the Architecture and Modernity. There is a small description of it. I did also in my book series two Spanish authors wrote a book about Miralles. So of course I knew, but preparing for this workshop, I spent a good amount of time in studying, and I'd like to study more. So I probably already studied a good amount of time this work, but I have the desire to study more, which is very, very funny, you know, you think, because basically the study and the understanding of a project, of a masterpiece, never ends. It's a process of continuous interpretation. So I wanted really to share with you the relevance of this work, and this is what I will spend a good part of the day, okay? So we really try to go deeper into it. I wanted to start it with this picture, because this picture is the house of Benedetta and Enrique, and I think it is, well, I don't know, for some reason I think it is nice to see the actual place. Then later we have some picture of the studio. But I don't know, for some reason I was interested in seeing this image, and I think you were too. Okay, before going to il Mercato di Santa Caterina, I wanted to start with a project that has some aspect of it, and some theme that in some way is it can be considered interesting. I want to to show this, because very few people speak about this project. And I'm sure Valerio does not know what it is. No? But it's normal. Even myself, I didn't know that these things existed. Instead, it's extremely important, because this is the station of Centro Direzionale of Naples, of the subway. If you have the chance and you go in Naples, try to go and see the subway, the different station of the subway, because this is really a masterpiece, is incredibly important thing, and is really a very, very, very important and beautiful set of experience. Because the subway in Naples, they've done a great work in the combination between space and art. So art is not like a mosaic in the wall, but art is really merging with the space. And that is really incredible. So the artists are really making different, in many cases, making art in terms of space, not in terms of painting. You know, and so each station has a theme, and they are really strong, they're really emotional. I think it's one of the best subway in the world, personally. So it's a very rich experience if you have the chance. And with that, there is also several architects are involved in the design of the actual subway. And Cisa, Gregotti, and others. And among them, there is Benedetta Tagliabue, because already Miralles was died. And they did this project that is quite interesting. First of all, you have to imagine that the Centro Direzionale is a kind of rigid, kind of rationalistic putting of building, one building here, one building there, with that kind of, you know, new directional center that you can imagine. So, as typical of Enric Miralles and Benedetta Tagliabue, they use immediately what you will call, in our jargon, suer, number 9, bedeni. How you will call this? How you will call this action within our jargon? Jargon, you understand? Our way to say, you know? Ready. Beresti. Dov'è ready? How you will call it? You have notes? Look at notes. That's a good way, because if I say how we will call, will be in the notes. Number 25, Junida. Junida. How you will call? It's so evident. You have notes? Look at notes. Don't be like that. Be active. Be proactive. You have notes? You've been asked? De Filamentus! Oh my God! Wake up. Okay, it's 9 o'clock, but it's time to wake up, because we have to produce something significant by tomorrow, so if we don't start to wake up, it's a disaster. Of course it's the filamentous, no? Why we spend time on that? So the whole idea is clearly is an interpretation of the filamentous, right? So he thinks that the, whatever action will be filamentously related to the environment. Right? So the station per se does not exist a concept of the station per se. Exists a kind of a filamentous landscape within which the station will arrive. No? It's typical of this kind of thinking, you know? The old concept that we are talking will show how this idea evolves. So, the actual physical, station will be there, but they are saying you will not solve anything if you are creating another monument within other things. You have to create a set of relationship, and then this relationship will suggest can be filamentous-like. you know, like, because that is the poetic. So, this is basically the landscape that they propose, and here it is the station, and the station basically have this great idea that is always the same idea, that comes from Via Plana to the first project that we saw and to other ones, that is enough to characterize a public space would be a pergola, would be enough. Basically, you cover some part of the public space, and that the public space magically becomes something. Because many things are happening. You are covering by the sun, you are covering by the too much cold, but you create, what is more important, you create a scale that becomes a scale that we can, in which can happen actions, basically, human actions. Not always you want to be confronted with the huge scale of the skyscrapers around or things like that, but you bring down the scale, no? So you create this type of canopy that it covers, but in a transparent way, a sectional space in which many events can take place. Informal, whatever. So that is one aspect of the station, and the other aspect is how you develop the actual world underground. They say that, but it's not too much shown, but they put this picture, and this picture is Napoli Sotterranea. Naples is one city that has an incredible underground world. You know, the underground world, it is very, very rich. You can walk for kilometers and kilometers in this underground world in Naples, because it basically is all done in tufo and then was excavated during time for the different reasons. So this is what they have in mind. I did not find any picture of the project, but that is their inspiration. So there are these two things, and the station is under construction. It is more or less at this level, so it will be a very important thing. And this undulated structure, as you can see, it is done all in wood. And in somewhat a simpler geometry to what we're going to see, but similar to that one, will be covered, that one that we see, it will be covered by ceramic. And in this case, the ceramic has to go with a big tradition in the Naples area, that is Vietri. Vietri is a big, big tradition, and, you know, the ceramic is also in Naples an important part. So this is just something to keep you to have another project that some of you may like to study more in the thing. Okay, now let's go to the Mercato di Santa Caterina, and from whatever point we touch this project. From whatever point you really find that is a project so inspiring, not only for the moment in which was done, but in a way as the strength to be continuously inspiring as potentiality over today. We can think of certain issue of this project and continuously to think after 15 years or so that has been built. So it really belongs to the level of a masterpiece. There are things that are up, no? There are architecture, there are great architecture, but there are things that are at the level of a masterpiece. So that means that so many things arrived there, and I'm very, very happy to can describe you this project from that point of view. For the sake of us, Valerio, we can look at this from looking from our five categories, okay? We study, when I design, when I use to teach design, I said that all contemporary projects must adhere to these five categories. Something more, something less, but it is important that a contemporary project in some way will fulfill these five categories. The first category is mixité. That means that each contemporary project, it is done with a combination of functions. It's not like it used to be, that there is only basically one function and that's it, but all contemporary building must have a combination of functions living together, being together. This is for many reasons. One is that you tend to have buildings that operate more all along the week and all along a 24 hours. It's a goal of contemporary society. And you do that combining at least these three functions. One that is living, that means that in the project must be some part of residential aspect. One that I call it, or we call creating, that means some work activity must take place there. And I use the word creating for saying work, because I'm telling that all the society, luckily, more and more is moving, although slowly, towards more creative work than the passive one. And one is the exchanging, that means must make money. In a way, must be a relationship with capability of the project to generate an income. To generate an income, we are not in the moment in which everything can be subsidized by the state, but must be able to generate an income. So the second aspect I call rebuilding nature. That means that all the projects of today must have some intelligence in the use of resources, of natural resources. But the idea of rebuilding nature is more than that. It's not only the technology, it's also the way that contemporary architecture, in a way, will look again of nature and will reincorporate, even a poetic way or an artistic way or in some way, nature become an alliance. Basically. So the idea that contemporary projects can rebuild the nature is an important aspect, either from technology or from an expressive poetic thing or as a combination of the two. The third one is we call driving force, and I put the word the negotiation. That is a very important concept. That means that, of course, there is a mixture of functions. But each project of today has a very strong driving force, so still remain a main function or a main narrative around which though a mixité is built. Let's make an example, very simple. Let's make an example of the stadium, okay? The stadium used to be the monofunctional thing, right? You go to the stadium on Sunday, then you close it, and that's done, okay? We build hundreds of buildings, let's say, around the world. So we have the stadium is used 6 hours in the Sunday, and that's it, okay? So it's a monofunctional. Stadium today try to be multifunctional. That idea of the stadium, they turn it down. They turn it down. They do new one because the new idea of the stadium, again, must be on 24-hour cycle and a week cycle. Otherwise, it does not economical. That means that around the stadium must be exchange, living, and other functions. And at the same time, must happen a negotiation. What does it mean? That if, I don't know if there is a new stadium in Tirana that has been thought or not, but generally what happens is that, of course, there are private forces that will make this new stadium, but must be also the city that say, okay, you do that, but I gain that. you do this part, how you do this bridge, then I'll allow you to do the stadium. Or this part will be housing, but will be a student housing or something, you know. So there is a negotiation, public-private, right, to make this new thing. So this is all around the idea of the driving force in negotiation. The fourth one, it is infrastructuring. And infrastructuring means that all contemporary projects help the a series of relations or relationship with the city and with the environment. That means that are not objects, but create a set of spatial relationship with the surrounding. That means infrastructuring. So the project is not a bottle that you put on a table, but a set of interconnected spaces, forces, path with the surrounding. And the fifth one, it is magis crisis. That means that is a piece of architecture, can be a piece of art, and can be so interesting and strong to become, in a way, a point, a magic point of the new, of the future, in a way, you know? So magic crisis means, okay, how all these that are things can also reveal in a very strong aesthetic action. And how that aesthetic action that is so strong can create citizenship, so the sense that we are part of a community, we are part of the state, or we are sense that we are together. So the citizenship of magic crisis is the same, the two things are together. And if you look at a lot of great public architecture, particularly in the great cities, but starting in Rome, we have hundreds of that, in which the importance and the beauty and the intensity of the ideas, we will arrive to a level of art, and that art creates community, creates citizenship, creates belonging. So, all these are so strong in this project. So we can start looking at this project from this point of view and discover that each of them, it is. I will start with one that at the beginning, not only seeing that the Mercato of Santa Caterina has that. By the way, I don't want to show the old picture that I selected, but I wanted to be sure that that you know what I'm talking about, right? Because otherwise you don't understand what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this work, okay? The work, it is coming out of a competition that Miralles and Tagliabue won in 1997, and it was finished in 2004-2005, 5 years after. Please come here in the front row, you two guys in the front row. And thank you for arriving around 40 minutes late. Please, in the front row, here. Here. There are seats for you, waiting for you. It's not very elegant to arrive 40 minutes after, 1 hour after. No, in the front row. Yes. And this guy too, in the front row. This is completely inelegant. You make me mad, in the front row. Absurd. Okay, and so this is what we're talking about, right? Because you don't know what we're talking about, okay? So it's a project that is in the book, I said that you read in the book, so you have more or less an understanding of what it is. Okay, now let's follow these five categories, starting from one, Valerio, that you think does not play a role in that building, because you think infrastructuring, why infrastructuring? Instead, the infrastructuring is crucial. It is absolutely crucial, and the project is conceived as an infrastructuring action. And it generally is the last thing that you think. You know, you think that it's an object, that's there, okay? Valerio, can you come and help me a little bit, please? Because I know that you have a good English, I have a bad English. And look at this drawing. This drawing is the Bairro-Gotico. So the Mercato is placed there. And look at how they draw it, you know? They draw showing the idea that the event must be interrelated to a series of streets that like vein will bring energy there, and then this is the major path which the cathedral over there, but particularly the presence of the main path is very important. And if you look how they look at the plan, you will see one thing that is very important. I will ask you guys. Poi voglio che mi leggi la citazione, perché ho trovato una citazione che spiega perfettamente questo. Siccome è in inglese, tu vai meglio di me. Okay, look at the plan. What you will notice in the plan, a little bit particular. Diana, Tosca, guarda la pianta. The plan of this, you know? What do you know? There is something a little bit interesting if you look how it is drawn. It has to do with the concept of infrastructuring. And there is an idea that otherwise you'd never understand. Eh? Che c'ha di particolare questa pianta? Come è disegnata? What do you see?
It's like the picture of the island that we have seen before.
Yeah, of course the poetic word is always the same, but there is one thing very interesting that the plan is showing and wants to show. You want to show one thing that has to do with all this concept. What it is? Lediana, dov'è Lediana? Lediana, what it is? Come? It's like a park, yeah, in a way, yes, the idea is always that. But there is a shape. Do you notice there is a shape? Yeah, it's like a park, but there is a shape in that drawing. No. It's a very specific thing that he's saying. Eh? Cosa? It is a shortcut. What the drawing is saying is that from this point, the market works also as a shortcut. That means that you enter here, you exit there, or you exit there, enter there. So the market works also as a shortcut. And that is something that, you see, oh my God, makes a lot of sense, you know, of course, because sometimes when you experience the city, the shortcut, you know that it's the things that you do. Sometimes you go through a building, I don't know, in Tirana this is a common experience, but in other situations it's a common experience, you use the building as a shortcut. So this idea of the shortcut is wonderful because it basically is related with the old idea of infrastructure, and at the same time it creates a shortcut. And the shortcut, of course, it becomes, as you are going to see in one second, a very important action of manipulating of the thing. Please take notes and draw these things in your things, otherwise it's useless. You guys, take out the paper, you are coming here to take notes. I'm waiting that you get ready. Tieni, I'll give you some paper. Tieni. how you come without paper and without pen. You guys are fantastic. Are you sure that this is your right class?
Yes.
Yes, because yesterday we have a fantastic thing. C'è arrivato uno studente, si è addormentato, e io gli ho detto, ma dai, su, però in maniera molto carina, molto amichevole. Gli ho detto, dai, vabbè, non ti preoccupare, ci addormentiamo tutti, vai a prendere un caffè. Allora, no, mi diceva, no. Poi dopo un po' ha preso e è andato. E allora gli ho detto, per favore, mi prendi anche dell'acqua? E allora è venuto e è tornato. Poi se ne è riandato e abbiamo capito successivamente che aveva proprio sbagliato classe, non era proprio l'aula su. Quindi io ci ho rimediato una bottiglietta d'acqua. Ok. Now, so this is the shortcut. Now, Valerio, I found, to express this idea, I found, you know that I very rarely cite anybody, mm-hmm. but I found this guy really expressing so well this idea. So, se puoi leggere questo.
The market project should also be viewed within a broader framework. The reorganization of the area linked to the extension of Francis Gambo Avenue,
okay.
Which penetrates the district beyond the market. Miralles and Tayakue designed a master plan, which prevented the extension of this road from continuing the dramatic operation involved in its construction.
Uh-huh. C'è una maniera per bloccare le demolizioni, insomma.
The rupture of the existing historic fabric with the new broad regular avenue alignment, and instead define the aperture of a somewhat interface space which penetrated the district in a more effective way.
Okay.
For this purpose, part of each old building in the area has been preserved and included in the new building to avoid its total demolition and its replacement by regular city blocks.
Exactly.
The option envisaged in a previous plan. In relation to this initiative, the new market plays an important role of steering, one might say, the pedestrian flow from Via Laletana along Cambo Avenue to the earth of Santa Caterina District. For this purpose, the new roof leaps across the wall of the old market and partially cantilevers out of the avenue, with its colorful, undulating surface, which is acting as a visual lure for passersby. For this purpose, it is important for the market building to be completed with the pergola envisaged in the project, which prolongs through Via Laletana and thus bring the market closer. Juan Antonio Cortex, The Complexity of Real.
Okay, because I found this description very precise, you know, and useful. Grazie tante, Valerio, mille grazie. And here is another drawing about that that will express the, this is put it on the contrary on the other one. The previous drawing was like that, this drawing was like that. So anyway, it's an important issue. So what do you think infrastructuring is not an important part, no? The concept of infrastructuring, you immediately see instead that it's very important. The idea that the project creates this relationship, even if it is basically contained, you know, in an isolato. It's an isolato, it's not a landscape, or has not cannot do the filamentous thing, it can do another thing. But even if it is concentrated in an isolato, is in a city block, there is all this thinking. And I think it would be nice to just see it in that way, if we can. Okay. So okay. It seems to work. Okay. Fine. So here we feel it. We start to feel the project, and we understand certain issue of it, and we understand its scale, and it's a way that is related there. Okay? One aspect of that is what he mentioned is the fact that the boundaries are in some way thought very, very, are done, the idea of the boundaries are important because here they create a pergola. So this is the largest street, and the roof is moving to create a pergola, like hosting, you know, the people passing by. On this area, instead, they, as you are going to see, they keep the original wall of the market. So basically the scale and the sensation to be on the small street remain the same. And instead a big action is happening there. What is this? This is the beginning of the shortcut. So basically what we saw in the drawing as a shortcut is happening on that area, kind of opening the diagonal there that will allow people to pass through, at the same time to have a very specific action in the back. Okie dokie, andiamo avanti. Now, look at this image and try to imagine these two images tell, and what actually happened tell so much about the culture of a city and the capability of a city to face its future and actually to build its future. And on this, Spain, it is has shown a great energy, and particularly Barcelona, within that, create a big energy. So, what is this, in your opinion? Anda. Dov'è Anda?
Here.
Dov'è Anda? Ciao Anda. Cos'è quello là? What is that? Yeah, it's an old monotasking old market, basically. So it's a market built with the idea of the typical thing that is a monotasking thing, that's the market, that is closed, etc., etc. Plus, evidently, it belongs to a type of style or architecture or things of that particular moment. Now, if I will be let's say the super conservatorist, you know, that exists in the world, particularly in Italy, say, ah! We have the market of Santa Caterina! Nobody try to touch it! Our Catalonia is based on that market! Our identity, this horrible word, our identity is in that market! Nobody try even to touch it. Let's restore how it is, how it was. Okay? These are things that are happening. It's not something that like that. Are political points of view and things like that. But what they did, they completely changed completely that. They say that you don't build your future with this idea of putting under ice your past. But to face the transformation, but you face the transformation with the strength, of a real deep and intense thought of architecture. Architecture is the tool at the high level to be able to continuously rebuild your future. And rebuild your future, as we are going to see, does not mean that you cancel your past, but you rebuild constantly. It's like the language. Same thing that happened in language, in other aspects of culture. It changes, it creates an evolution. We don't speak today as we used to speak 40 years ago, 50 years ago. It's not the same language. We change, we build one thing over the other. And this process of rebuilding is the process of life, while the process of putting things under ice is the process of death. So this is very interesting. When you look at this from this point of view, that's why I make this little theater. So they had that, and the municipality said, "Okay, you guys, now let's do a competition, okay?" And let's see what are your ideas, how to change this situation in something else. And keeping, the thing is so interesting, because how many things will arrive in this point, you know? What type of architecture you are going to propose in this historical city? What type of social actions you propose? What type of negotiation you propose? And what type of architecture and beauty you will propose? So these are a type of things that only an architect can be all the same, in particular a great architect, you know, because the complexity of the thing, it is, only can be related to that. So, this was the existing solution, and Miralles Tagliabue won the competition. Basically, what we see here are the demolition after the demolition of the market. So the market was decided to be demolished, which is already a big action. But there are several things that are happening. The walls along the little street here and there are kept, as you can see, and partially rebuilt, and same thing are there. What you see here are the foundation of previous building, because as many parts of the historical city in Europe, generally it's been built. Before here, the Santa Caterina was a convent, and before it was a convent, was something Roman. So the layers are one on top of the other. So I'm pretty sure here they show some type of archaeological things. But what we are interested in now to understand is that basically the first design decision was to keep these three walls. This one on the main street, this and this. Okay. Now, let's discuss of the driving force. So with that we finish infrastructuring, okay? Let's now discuss of driving force. Okay. Miralles used collages, as we saw, in different ways. In some cases, collages are way to explore a situation. So the collage is done as a way to start thinking of something. So if you start thinking of something, the basic idea of the collage is that you take heterogeneous material, you know? Certain things may regard people, other things may regard architecture, other things may become urban structure, whatever. And this type of collage, it kind of are tool to open your mind. Basically, you know, instead of doing a painting, he does collages, and these collages is the tool that allow him to think about this this idea. In other cases like this, collages are done as a way to show the main concept of the project. So they are done afterwards, after the project, or as a mean of presentation. So in this case, it is one, I'm pretty sure, although not 100%, but I think it's one of the drawing that was submitted for the competition. So what we see here, basically we see certain things very crude, but in the collage, we understand. We are saying that something of the existing structure will be kept. And here, I think this is a plan that will show basically the first idea of the roof. And then here, it is saying that idea of the roof has a kind of strange flow. It makes a strange flow. Who can understand what is that what does it mean, that flow, that then actually becomes very important. Why, what conceptually means that flow? This is basically the roof, look at it in plan, you know, it's an undulated roof, you put it flat, okay, this part. But what is this type of idea of, why he did that? And what is the idea? There is an idea that's a very interesting idea. New. Dov'è new? Lana. Lana. Lana new.
Qual è
number? Number one.
Nick.
Nick, but you said new. You wrote new. Nick. Ok, Nick. Sì, come te pare parlo.
A me sembra come mosaico di verdura.
Esatto, è un mosaico di verdura, esattamente, è un mosaico di verdura. So, this was done, these are the tomatoes, oranges and things like that, that are slowly transforming in the roof. What a great idea. So this, imagine that this is a board that you, or a drawing that you put in the competition to tell them, no? Basically, the driving force of the project, it is clearly a market. It remains a market. It is not becoming a supermarket or something else. It remains a market. But it's a market of a mixed day in a completely different situation of the monotasking there, and also the form shaping and this and that, badon, 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 badon. And this idea that basically the strength, the energy, the color, the excitation that create a market that in this case is completely killed. Where is the thing? Okay. Are you at that?
No.
C'è da qualche parte, no? Here. Okay. That is completely killed here by this. Instead, it's that kind of energy, kind of send an energy around, you know, send an energy around. But this is always related, is an interpretation of the driving force. It's an interpretation of what the market is today. So that energy is not only inside, but becomes outside. It's a great idea. I mean, this guy is a genius. How you can have all these ideas? And now it's nothing, eh? Which is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. But this is a really, you know, the capability of the brain to create this connection and to make the sense that this connection makes sense. It creates a plot, it creates a story that makes sense, and the things are all one with the other, one with the other. Sometimes I say this, I use this word that architecture is a complotto. It's like, you know, that everything, I don't know how to say it in English. But anyway, it's a fantastic, it's a very fantastic idea, and goes with the idea of the driving force, of course. The main function remain based on exchange, and it is that. But it's not, of course, it's not only that. There is the presence of culture, archaeology, and things like that, because of course, in the negotiation, public-private, of this operation, has been asked that some part of the ruin are musealized, you know? And here you see, so, okay, you see those stones, okay, not that excited, but there is also the information, things like that. So that goes with the idea of the negotiation, public-private, etc. And then, anyway, the sense of the archaeology, that there is a past, a lying past, is not completely gone. We go other 12 minutes and then we take a break, otherwise I burn your brain, you know. So just 12 minutes, okay? 10:30 we take a small break. Okay, here is Miralles in the site. I found this picture. I don't know who is the guy, but so probably this was already in 98 or even 99. You know, very very close to his dad, surely. And because Miralles died by brain cancer. And he seems that he used too much of his brain. He abused of his brain. People that that knew him told me once, because he was a teacher in Barcelona. I was there to do something, and a colleague told me, "Yes, of course, Enrique." But I was a little bit complaining with him because he was not at school as often as he could. And he answered, "It's 3 years that I don't have a day of vacation, which you can believe for the amount of work and dedication that he had to sing." So, okay, this is as driving force, and this is about the presence of archaeology. And, okay, now you have, what do you have? You have a piece of paper, okay, and you have 10 minutes to imagine how we are going to build this baby. Because it's important that you do an hypothesis yourself, and later you see the solution. Because if you immediately see the solution, you don't understand the strength of the solution. So, this is the problem. And you do a sketch. So I have some type of exterior wall that are here, and here. Okay? Here it is open, so it's okay. What I want to do, I want to do an undulating structure. This is basically what I want. It may run something like that. How the hell I do that? Try to do a sketch, sign it, and give it back to me. And then I will keep one. You have 10 minutes. Avete carta, no? You can have extra paper. Try to do an hypothesis. You can work together, okay? You can be two or three if you want. Try to imagine an hypothesis. Because if you imagine an hypothesis, then it will be much more fun to see how we solve it. Very good. Okay, so I think it is very good that you have thought by yourself about the structure, because that will kind of open up your attention to the solution. There is one thing of the work of Miralles that is very different from the work of, let's say, Frank Gehry, or from the work of Peter Eisman, or from the work also to Zadid to a certain extent. The difference is that really for Miralles the construction is really an integral part of the architecture. So the way that is constructed is a very important force within architecture. And this is not at all for Frank Gehry, just to make an example. For Frank Gehry, construction can be whatever it is. It's not important, you know. It's cladded anyway. Construction is just the most practical one. But the construction does not play a role in reality. Actually, whatever construction it is fine. And if you see, for example, the Guggenheim Museum, the construction is just done with a triangulation of beams that is really almost crazy, and then everything is cladded, and then you don't perceive the construction. Or it only plays the space, but not the construction. And Eisman is rather disinterested to construction as well, to a larger extent. Again, it's more or less the same. And for a long phase, it is a little bit different. But instead, for Miralles, the construction, the force of the construction, it is an integral part of the project. And this, in this aspect, is really original in, within this, let's say, more general tendency of this contemporary architect that you may call generally, just to put a label, kind of the deconstructivist architect. So in that is very specific for this attention of construction as an important part of architecture. As again, it's not present in Gehry, it's not present in Libeskind, it's not present in Eisman, but for him it is. So we saw this basically. And then from here, we only, in this kind of concept, we see that even here, he put some element of the construction. This is done at the time of the competition, but it is clearly that elements must play a role. Now, let's try to understand what are the issues. What are the issues that must be faced? Okay. This we have. So he has a perimeter, right? He has a perimeter, and then in this perimeter there can be wall. What is that? The first, so he has one issue. We realize that he wants to have kind of an artificial landscape up there. In fact, I call this section, I said ground in the sky. I said ground in the sky to say, to bring that all this idea for landscape, for forming, etc. This idea now, inside of the city, you cannot create the filamentous merging of land and architecture like in the cemetery, right? It's not a possibility. So that idea is brought into the roof. The roof becomes, in some way, the landscape, in a way, no? That's why I use the formula ground in the sky. So we know that, in some way, he wants to have that kind of landscape in the sky, and that means that cannot be that, right? Must be something natural, undulating, etc. And then we understand that. But there is another issue that is very important. We are dealing with a market. So what is the other issue from a technical point of view that is important? In the market. We are in the market, right? What you'd like to have, or what ideally you'd like to have in a market?
Natural light?
That's right. But we are talking mainly from a structural point of view. Yes, natural light, yes, you're right. There is one aspect. You should try to avoid... What you should try to avoid? Ideally, how you'd like to have this market space? Talking about structure. So what you don't want to have? Yes, you're told. You don't want to have structure in the middle, right? Ideally, you want to have open space. You want to have an open space, a large open space. So it's not only the idea that you need that, You also need open space. You don't want to have structure in the middle. Why? Because first of all, because this roof will become more effective. But the other thing, from functional reasons, right? You don't want to have a ball, but you want to have this kiosk that can be organized as freely as possible. So you want to avoid, to have a structure in the middle. So, and you want to have the ondulating roof. It is rather complex to do this. It's rather complex to do this. What they invented, okay, so here you start to see the situation, you see? You start to see the situation, and what you see, it is, I lost my baby. Okay, here you see the idea to have the ondulating thing, okay? Here you see some system of trusses, and here you see the existing walls, right? You see the existing walls over there. So, basically, the first decision it is, okay, of course I want to use these walls, okay? And can I use this wall? I can create, and you see over here, okay. Okay. Here you start to understand the system that he created. Basically, along this line, okay, you say, all right, on this part I can have some specialized thing, you see over here. Okay? And over here. So the actual open market is something in the middle of the two. So if you do that, what you can do, you can put, and then it is evident here, a system of trusses that are doing like this. Okay? So something that if I do it here and you do here. So here is a system of chassis, like this, more or less, and we can see it in section. Let's see where is the section that shows that. Okay, here they are. This is the transversal, this is the transversal section. Okay? So, we see these guys here and here. That means that they will help with a kind of intermediate structure, you see over here, this and this. So these are system of trusses that are in some part on the existing wall, okay, and in some part with other structure that when you need, you can put it more or less along this line, you see, to help that thing here. So basically, this is the way. So are a system of trusses that you see here again, that are on here and on here. Okay? And so, to do that, of course, you need a large beam, right? Because from here to here, you need a beam, a large beam, that will support, here it is, here you see clearly, okay? You need this beam that will support these trusses. Plus, you may have some structural vertical element on the boundaries. So the main space is completely free. Okay? This is the plan of the paving. So this is the paving. We don't see any structure. We see just the paving. Like, it's the plan of the ground. Okay? Alright. So, how you will imagine that these elements will have a very important effect, you know? So you don't have anything like a unified structure, but you have a series of systems. First of all, you have this system of trusses and things that will be based on one beam and another beam. You see these two beams, and with some support, okay? And basically this helps to have all these trusses that are here on one side and on the wall on the other side, okay? So, these are basically this system that I will put it here, okay, symbolically, with a large beam and that on the wall on the other side, okay? Okay, and that will have a very different shapes as they are moving. But this will not be enough. Clearly, this is not be enough to creating the undulating roof or anything like that. That creates a surface like that. You want to have the undulating roof. So, plus you want to have the open space. So what he did, he had this idea. Okay, he said in the middle, remember, in the front, I want to have the pergola effect. Remember? The pergola effect on the main street. So what he does, he creates 1, 2, 3, and 4 support systems that are outside. And then these 4 support systems are those that will take the charge of very unusual and incredible structures. You see there are 4, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And this one, you see, they can follow this kind of movement. Look at them. One. So there are like leaves, almost like leaves. So they do something. Well, no, not like that. I'll do it very schematically, okay? So, you see it here. You see in this plan. So this is the support on the outside, and then it goes there, then they find another support, and then right there. And then this guy, that is like leave, because there is one that do like that, and the other one do like that. And then, again, they arrive here. Then they take this other beam that we discussed before, that is the beam that keep all these trusses, okay, over here. And then here again, they end here, they follow this shape, and they end up here. And then again, they do like this, and then end up here. Then again, it is over here, and ends up here. And so, basically, the idea is that you can have 4 of that support, and at the same time, this 4 support will allow the pergola effect, because the structure of the roof goes out like in a kind of portico. Let's create a kind of portico. Now, so, it seems, so clearly the trusses not only will allow the roof construction over here, but also a little bit. Oh no, I don't think that these are the, no, are these pilasters that are working, I think, for both. But no, these trusses, I don't think that they help this. So, having 4 supports here, 1 support here and 1 support here, because the incredible thing is these things, basically, since they have this movement, they start with 4 here and they end with 2 here, okay? Do you think that this is enough? Huh? this will be, well, I don't have a scale meters, but will be 80 meters or 70 meters, at least 80 meters. I would say around 80 meters, 70 meters. Do you think that this is enough to build this? So will be 80 meters beams that move like that, and then they have to support the roof. There is no charging, no, there is no extra weight in the roof, but still they have to support the roof. You think is enough? Huh? Is not enough. Okay? So, what is the other invention that they did? They create three arches. Here they are. And these are incredible. So those beams and the roof are also supported by three arches. Here you see them. Here, there are three. 1, 2, and 3. And the three arches are tiranti. Non so come si dice tiranti in inglese. Eh? Sono tiranti. Funzionano come tiranti. Eh? Ah, okay. Sono dei tiranti e praticamente this one will support, they will help to support the beams, basically, no? So they work as an arch that will help to support these very large beams. And what are the rather incredible thing is that these three arches are coming in and out. This is incredible. So they're coming, you see here, and here in the section, they will penetrate inside let's say, the artificial landscape, up to arrive here. So, instead of putting, basically, other three pilasters, what they could have done, you know, in the middle, they basically create these three arches, out of which you understand here, okay, and you see that the beam is, you see here? No, in another drawing. Okay, wait a second, let me find. Okay, here you see, okay? And these things will support the, here it is, with these kind of compasses, you see? They will help to support the structure of the roof. Here there is. So the beams plus this will help to support the undulation of the structure. I'm sure the engineer will have lots of fun to study this section and to interpret exactly what he did. So in terms of structure, all the structure is thought in a very creative way. For which scope? Of course, for the scope to have minimum of pilaster in the space. Second, to allow this undulating thing. And third, to have all the structure playing a key role in architecture. So all the structure is exposed and has an immense role in the characterization of the inside space. Now we can see some, okay? And here we can start to understand how the thing will look like, and then we have to understand the specific point to have that effect. So this undulating thing and the structure that we just discussed, it is done to have... Okay. To have a strong, very, very strong effect in the space. Here you see one of those exterior arches that I was talking with the system that will help to support the roof. Okay, here is a key picture. Because we understand a little bit better what I described, you know? We see the thing that look like kind of armature of a leaf, no? the beings that I described, the arches, and the long, almost rectilinear beings that will support this kind of chassis that goes from the exterior wall to this beam. So it's an amazing system. But the fact that it's an amazing system, here we see again, is not done as in Gehry to allow only the organic shape to happen. The real key thing is to make the space, the actual space, vibrating, because when you are inside, all this world is, all this world of the structure from the inside has a very, very important effect. So, this was the original, elevation, clearly. And this is how the thing was transformed, no? And clearly, the role of this roof, we are going to talk of the main feature in a while, we are arriving step by step, you know. The role of this roof is immense, because it's important inside and as well as it's very, very important outside. It's an immense role and tells you the incredible passion to do that. Because if we see your sketches, as many of you have thought, there are many ways to build this from a specifically constructive point of view. It is something that you, of course, you can deal in many ways. I think it is interesting to see this, if the link works, I hope it will work, because it shows the different construction phases. So we start from the first phase, and basically we just see the exterior wall and all the scaffolding. You see, we see the scaffolding to create the first very large beam, and then. Okay, here already we saw these three guys that of course you need them as soon as you start to create that. And then let's see. I think here we just here is the key image, because we see this the construction of these beams, and then if there is this, because they are starting to mount the thing, and here we see the chassis from the existing wall to the large perimetral beam, and here we see more completely the thing. What is it is interesting, I was surprised, you may know more than me about that, is that being is inside another part, it is cladded. It is basically, it looks like a reinforced concrete being, but then when it wants, and okay, here it is, the final construction. Okay. All right. Now, to tell you how much he plays with this idea of the structure, although this, in large part, this beam, you see, it is in concrete. You see that it is in concrete. Then, the last part, the steel is revealed. So the beams are built in a way with those tubular structure that basically at the end when is needed are shown. Let's see one picture of that. Okay, here. This is the picture I wanted to show you. Okay. So here we are in the front. So we see the pergola effect of the thing, and we see basically that is the beam, but that inside become all covered in like a normal reinforced concrete. And here, again, instead of doing a pilaster, again it makes the filamentous type of thing. So these we see three. There is a fourth over here to create these three canopies. But at the same time, the way that this this roof arrives and touches the main street, it is important. That's why again I put it this. So it's a series of continuous invention basically. To make everything happening. What we see here, it is a section that is done basically at the, at the cutoff area. Because what he does, we talk about the pergola over here. This is the pergola effect on the main street. But here, he creates this kind of piazza, right? And this kind of piazza, in a way, reveal here along this line again a kind of skin, wall skin, that is what you see over here. I'll show you an image. Ecco, here it is. Basically, in that way, to create that wall along the piazza on the shortcut, it is done like that and following. The geometry that we see over here, this one. Then, of course, as a complex urban machine, here you have underground parking. Underground parking, from what I suppose can be done in a rather traditional reinforced concrete system. I don't have a picture of it, and I never been. I don't know what happened in the parking, but knowing Miralles, maybe he invented something nice also in the parking. So you see that he has many things in the downtown, but as many things in architecture generally. Today is the underground, and what it allow from the overall functioning of the thing, you know, because these things will attract parking, and the parking will also be important as an economical source of the project. It's something that you will rent or sell in a very important way. So I think in terms of structure, we pretty much felt it and understood what it does, and with this system, basically having the things at the different level, it can allow because large part of the roof as an undulating thing, it is done because it's like a curtain basically, and it's a curtain that is suspended. Is a curtain that is suspended at different height from the three arches, mainly, not always, and then the other parts are different. But basically this is from a structural point of view, it is a curtain that is suspended from the arches. And so the arches, with their wires, keep the exact position of the curtain. I think it's a good way to express how at the end it is done. It is clearly shown here. So, this is a curtain basically, and the curtain is suspended to a larger extent, not everything, but to a larger extent it is suspended on the arches. But again, as typical of Miralles, he's flexible. He does not want to have a rule and kill himself. So in this part, he's not suspended. So in this part goes up and go to the trusses. So are the trusses that are helping them. So there is not anything that is mechanical. We invented in any space what can be done. So in this space it goes and it arrives on the trusses. And the trusses are at the same time the roof of these spaces and also the help of certain part of the let's say the curtain or the come si dice tappeto, tapestry, all of the carpet, yeah, of the carpet, okay? So pretty amazing. The structure is pretty amazing, but if we just look have been done so far, you are pretty much amazing, and we are just at the 50% of the value of this work. Now let's move another part. We said that about the 5 points out of which we began describing this. We said mixité, and in mixité we said living, and at the beginning nobody really thinks that in the Santa Caterina project there is a living aspect. You think that it's only a market. And the interesting thing is that more than half of the project, it is a living environment. They are residential part. And the residential part is mixed with the other aspect. And this is really amazing. Actually, studying the project or looking at the project in the picture, I never thought about that. I was interested in other things, etc. When I was there to visit, I said, "Oh, but my God, I really said, oh my God, but what is this baby here? Look, what is this baby here?" So, in this complex operation of urban remaking, changing the story of this market, etc., they really follow the mixité approach. That means you have to keep a mixture of functions also to allow the fact that the place is active as much as possible during the whole week, and it's also possible to be alive during the 24 hours almost, a cycle, and has to do all that. And there is one other aspect, and that will tell you what the municipality of the city, how the municipality of the city, it is attenta, it is awake to many, many issues. What is happening here? You can surely send or sell this apartment to American tourists at a very high price, because you are in the middle of downtown Barcelona, in the Gothic place, in the Gothic quarter, and just to have this incredible landscape, I will see that later, looking out of your window, it is something incredible. In my previous life, I was a housing designer. So as a designer, I was really an expert in housing. So when I was there and I found this just going around, I said, oh my God, what's going on here? And so I was able to start to speak with the people. And piece by piece, I realized what's going on. And I was able to go inside and to really look how incredible is this project. Just the housing part. Now, let's start from the social point. The social point is that you don't want to kill the downtown with a process of, let's call, gentrification. So you don't want the original inhabitants go away and new rich people go in. This is the gentrification, it's called gentrification, no? Instead, you want as much as possible in some way to keep the original social combination of downtown in order that is alive as a mix of income, as a mix of people, and etc. So this is a typical public interest, while the purely private interest will be, okay, we do things, we put new rich, and the old people go away. So it's the gentrification. So a city that is interesting to keep certain things alive in the process of negotiation, public-private, will have this goal, okay, but you don't take away all citizens that they are used to live in this quarter, as much as possible, you do a movement to keep them there. So what it is this, and this is incredible, it is social housing. So it's not private luxury housing, it is social housing. And particularly, since the population is getting older, it is elderly housing. Mainly elderly housing. So the typical scenario is that an elderly person that may be living in Barcelona downtown, that has a house in which they lived with the whole family, etc., that let's say is 100 square meters or 120 square meters, he has an husband, three child, etc., living there, maybe that house is put it on rent, and maybe student or rich students or whatever else they buy it, but what happened to the elderly person? The elderly person goes in the outskirts, in some kind of anonymous block up there. No, they remain in the neighborhood. So the house becomes much smaller. You don't need as a single person or as an old couple 120 square meter. You can do very well with 60 if it is well designed. And at the same time, you live there. So your story is not only the story of the building, it's also the story of the person that made the city. And is that the kind of right evolution, you kind of, the same idea of before, you try to accompany the transformation of the city, but you accompany the transformation of the city with some actions that in some way, as a public interest, they go in a direction that they think it is right. So this housing project inside it is extraordinary. It is a fantastic project. So that's why I dedicated a whole section of it to just the housing part. I wanted to do an exercise with you, but I cannot kill you. So the structure is enough. The exercise was the following. I would give you it in class. I give you this perimeter. Okay? I want 6 to 7 apartments per floor of around 65 to 80 square meters with double bedroom, living, kitchen. But I need 6 to 7 within that perimeter. Solve it. No, we don't do it. Okay? But I would do it like in if we have the time, we will try to solve it. Just think of a second and try to solve it. Okay, try to solve it. Valerio, questa è una prova magistrale del concetto conquista centro. Se non c'hai il concetto di conquistare il centro, non risolverai mai questo problema. One exercise that we do in our class is called Conquer the Center. if you have a problem of distribution, and like this one, you have to always think where is the center. If I can tackle the center, then I can go in the system of solution. So this is one of the best ever example of the issue, of why the issue is solved without the center. Looking like that, it seems an impossible thing to solve. It is so interesting, this, because basically, if we go back to this guy over here, we understand one thing, that clearly the shapes, what we see here as the shapes, are done for cultural reason, for having a kind of plasticity, to have interesting layout, and all, and particularly to create the shortcut effect. So this movement here, over here, abbiamo neanche una bacchetta, no? Okay. Anyway, doesn't matter. Questo effetto qui, this effect over here, it is done because it wants to create the piazza and it wants to create the shortcut. So the whole shape is not done apparently to create the perfect housing. Actually, it is done for site planning reason or plastical reason. He wanted also to have a kind of a sculptural form to create a relationship with the roof. He did not want to have bone. So basically, that's why I started with the perimeter. Basically, the perimeter kind of set the thing that he needed. But then, at the same time, look what plan he invented to make it perfect. In the most difficult issue ever, that is housing, because doing another typology simple, but do housing is very difficult, because it must be perfect, you know. So let's do what he did. let's see what he did. Non ci abbiamo una bacchetta in tutta la facoltà, vero? Sai? No? Ok, non ti preoccupare. Se sai che c'è, bene, se no non fa niente. No, va bene, ok, non fa niente. Non è la... Ok. Non vi preoccupate, non è la fine del mondo. Oggi non piove, quindi nessuno ha un ombrello neanche. Ok, now let's see this wonderful plan. Ok, non è qua. Ok, let's see how it look like first. Ok, it creates this dialectic between the roof and the surrounding and the thing. Elevation, it is interesting how it is done. The elevation basically, in this particular case, plays only with the play of masses. Ah, c'è un laser. Fantastico. Grazie, molto gentile. Grazie mille. I'm excited. Okay, so the elevation is solved in terms of formatting. Ah, abbiamo tutto, dai, voglio tutto. I want everything. I want to have everything. Ok, so l'elevazione, vedete, è risolta giocando soltanto sulle masse sul piano scuro, vedete? And then, in order to do that, you must have a simple way of penetration. So the penetration is solved out, in this case, only as a surface, with this very nice trick, beautiful trick. What is this? You are not interested. You are not reading. You are parachuted here in this territory that is not your territory, and you don't understand what's going on and why particularly these things are exciting. But they are very exciting. So how do you solve it? Come fa la finestra? Come fa? fatta la finestra? Vogliamo vederla meglio? Perché è un trucco semplicissimo, va molto bello. You want to keep the mass, right? You want to keep the mass compact. So how you solve it? Come ha fatto? The window has a very specific thing. Dai ragazzi, che non la vedete come è fatta la finestra? Eh?
Si muove quello.
Quello si muove, certo che si muove. Questa si chiama la persiana. This is called in English the shutters. These are the shutters. Okay? But the shutters are, first they do two games. First of all, the last thing that you want is to have the shutters like that. Because the shutters like that breaks the mass. They break the mass. So in this particular case, he has the shutters that are sliding. So they always participate to the surface. They never do anything. And particularly they don't create any chiaroscuro there. Because he does not want to have any chiaroscuro on the window. Because he wants to have the mass of the housing winning. Must be the mass, the game of the mass. It's the game of the mass what is important. Of course, then he plays the windows also in this slightly, so the presence of these two windows is so beautiful. You know,
maybe he choose that way to relay the little bit with the roof of the market.
They are, it's a dialectic. You know, the two things speak one to the other. You know, speak to one to the other, but they speak as different, you know. That one is one thing, one the other thing, but they speak to one to the other. He thought also, what the hell of architecture can I put it there? What do I do? Do I do a mosaic? Imagine. Or do I do one of my walls with all those things? No, the basic idea is, I create a mass, like there are rocks, basically. So, like these waves, it is the rocks, in a way. So that must be rather plastic in order to create a dialectic with the carpet or with the waves. I don't know if they ever talked about this idea in the studio. They may. Anyway, so in order to do that, you have to have a continuity of this rocks-like, okay? No? Like, must create a dialectic. The last thing that you want in this particular case is to have the type of wall that you did in Borneo project. When we talk about the wall of the section. In this case, he said, no, it's a mistake. We don't want to have this, again, similar to the ceramic of the thing. It would be a terrible mistake. It would be horrible. Instead, they decided to have it plain, but clearly, this is housing. You cannot do only wall. You have to have windows. So the way to create the window as a detail with this idea of the sliding is fundamental. And the other thing is, how you play symmetry and asymmetry in this little thing. You know, this is like an abstract composition. You know, certain things line up, certain things don't line up, and it's very elegant and very beautiful, I think. And again, because in housing everything is very difficult, because you need a window. You cannot eliminate a window. You need a window. So the issue is how you put a window. That is a difficult game. It's not an easy game. Now, let's look at the plan. The plans are incredible, and everything is based on that concept. How you solve this issue, once you know the trick, is very simple. You have to conquer the center. The center is here. What do you do in the center? Eh? You do the service block. You do the service block. Stair plus elevation if it is needed. Okay. So, what do I do out of the stair? I do a corridor. So, how do I create this corridor in some way that can distribute me the apartments? That is the way to do it. And then I design one apartment after the other with a very interesting dialectic between what it is straight and what it is curved. That is the trick. So now look at this. Look at the plan. So next time you have some housing project, next time you have a pergola, you know how to do a pergola. Next time you have an open space, you know how to do an open space. The next time you see a housing at this. Guarda, look at this. So, he conquered the center, here it is. Okay? He put it more or less where I put it. Of course, if this would have been put it here, you would never have solved the issue. So the issue is always to conquer the center. So, once you conquer the center, then you have, let's say, the corridor. The corridor itself, it becomes very interesting. The shapes, the sculptural shapes that seems a disaster to do housing, it became the opposite. It becomes fascinating. Because you don't have those terrible long corridors, you have a corridor as an event. This corridor becomes an event. It changes angle, your idea, okay, boom, 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 is an event. And also you have lights on the corridor. But particularly is the shape that instead to be something against, is something that makes it more beautiful, much more beautiful. So the poor elderly people, they are not in that kind of prison, hospital, cemetery. It's that kind of You have it's a little bit adventurous, okay? Then, here is a very interesting dialectic that he plays between straight and angular thing, okay? Look, let's see this apartment. Okay, this is one. And that is the bedroom, the living, bathroom, and kitchen, evidently, in this organization. And here they will, this is another one. So probably here, now that I look it, probably there is some type of intermediate service space or something. So probably this space, because what I was interested when I looked, I saw several kind of, let's call it semi-communal spaces, where people can share things. So probably, I guess, I don't know, but probably something may happen here. Maybe what could be here, for example? We don't know exactly, but what could be here? You could just imagine.
I think that's a living room.
Eh?
I think that's a living room.
You think that is a living room?
And the other one is the dining room.
Okay, but if this apartment is not this one, I don't know. We have to, that is low resolution. I have higher resolution that we can see.
I have the book in higher resolution.
Okay. Where is the person that said there is a living room? Who said that? Okay. You have good eyes? Yeah. Okay. These are the plans that you can see better than me. So you can understand exactly. Because there is one hypothesis that, because they have several, that this can be also, can be the apartment is this one. Can they enter from here? Do you see in the plan?
There is not a door.
There is not a door. So this is what I said. That is part of the apartment, right? It looks like that.
It's too small.
Even there. You will need a lens. But anyway, so that is one. Because the other thing it is that what happened over here then? Because there is another hypothesis is that here My hypothesis is that it's here that you put something like laundry or something like that. That is my was my idea. So this is a kind of a laundry, and this will allow one apartment probably will enter from here, and it's this, and another one will enter from here, and it's that. But anyway, it doesn't matter if it is or it's not. So probably the laundry is over here. Because probably in this type of apartment, you don't need to have a laundry for each one. Okay? So anyway, at the end, clearly, very often, in this case, you don't have the corridor to have light over here. It's in up here. So you take the last one, that is this one. Again, with a kitchen, a bathroom, a kitchen, dining, and one double single bedroom, another one here, the center from here. He has living, probably kitchen, niches, bathroom, bedroom, etc. So what we understand, and this is very interesting, what we understand is that basically each apartment is different. That is very interesting. So they design, given the situation, each apartment taking the maximum of this. And what is interesting, they sometimes, in order to organize this, they must have a curvilinear inside and try to have the curvilinear as an event. Look at this one. No? This the wall of separation of one of the others is done with this curvilinear wall that is very creates a kind of dynamic of the space at the same time allow to solve this. What I notice, they never do curvilinear in the bedrooms. So they try always to keep the bedroom straight. They are the first one we can see. Okay. So in this one, more or less is the same concept, but different. Again, you must conquer the center. Here it is. You conquer the center and you put your core here and here. Again, from the center you have the corridor. In this case, the corridor is open to the at the end, and then the different apartments over there. But all the apartments must have that standard. So they are all of them are more or less the same in terms of surface and in terms of what it is there. But each one is different. Oh my God, really good. No? This means work. It does not come like that. You have to work on these things. And the other aspect is that when you walk there, it's really interesting this sequence of spaces and of lines, and from time to time, although it's not clearly here, there is some little communal space that the people can have. So, going back to the housing, okay, here is some picture. I was not able to penetrate. Okay, here it is. I don't know exactly what place it is, but there is some level, they have some space to play cards or to do something together, but at the same time it's not the typical elderly things like that. It's a kind of a housing with a high level of privacy. And this is the shortcut. This is the shortcut. And I think a woman probably that lives there, we don't know. But anyway, and that is that the treatment of that wall, let's say, in the piazza over there that I was discussing before. And here also there is the thing that coming out a bit. Okay. We didn't think about, we didn't spend any attention to what is, let's say, the organization of the market, per se. Let's see a plan. Okay. It is interesting how it works the 24 hours cycle, it is that something particularly along this area, they are actually restaurants, I think along this area. So these restaurants, they work independently from the market and create the activity on the street, etc. So basically here, there are a series of restaurants, and inside there is this booth, right? There are the typical booths of the market. And in plan, let me find a plan in which they are seen. Okay. Here I think they are seen. Okay. And again, they are not markets like one booth, like you are in 1,000, you know? They are done in this kind of very dynamic way. For once, to almost create evident the shortcut idea, or once clearly, but on the other side also to create a dynamic inside. So again, each booth is not, they are island basically. They are conceptually they are island, and this island, they don't belong only to one seller. They belong to several sellers, and I think I cannot be 100% sure. Of course, they have their independent structure. They have the independent structure. Here we see that there is the structure of these booths that is like, let's say, kind of a box within the larger space. And then clearly, you have to also provide all the water, light, the all other features. And then probably each of them will arrive in the center, I suppose. So this is how the market itself is done, with this idea of landscape. And what you see here is the ramp that goes down to the parking. And what you see here is a big elevator for all the merchandising, particularly fish and things like that, that needs to be refrigerated. I knew that. You know why? Because I was speaking with the people, with an elderly person that was living in this paradise, and she was saying in half Italian, half Spanish, yes, but the trucks arrive at 5 in the morning to put the trucks and things there. Yeah, okay, there is some drawbacks. I remember very, that's why I know that this is the Montacarico that creates a little bit of noise in the morning. Okay, otherwise you go in the cemetery where you don't have any noise. Okay. I did not say that to her, you know, but don't worry. There you will have no noise whatsoever. You'll be fantastic. Okay. So you open this and your windows and you see these things. I think it is incredible. And this proof about our theory, Valerio, è incredibile come questo progetto provi la nostra teoria. No? Eppure non l'abbiamo mai usato. È una prova incredibile of why those 5 points are so still, they are very good point to check, you know, the strength of a contemporary project. A che ora finiamo? All'1? Okay. Okay. No, adesso ci organizziamo, because there is the whole last part, which is very important, because we thought of everything, you know, this, except the carpet. We thought of everything, you know, this, the strategy. We went, we moved like that, we talked of everything, but we didn't speak about the roof, you know. That is, of course, the attraction. So I was... I'd like to have some questions So, for the only reason, because I think to do a break is too much, you know. But I want to arrive to the new part with something, you know, after relaxing a little bit, you know, without not boom, boom, boom. So I'd like to do we have any engineer here? Can some of the engineers tell us one thing more or whatever more in about, I don't know, an observation about the structure or whatever seen from their point of view, because they know, of course, they have a sensibility that is different than mine, or whatever, or a question or something about the structure, or about how the thing is built, or any other observation. I would love to have some, to have a little bit of a question, like yesterday, that we get more. Gabby, fammela tu. In quale argomento ti piacerebbe discutere un po' di più?
Well, the whole final shape of the roof is quite interesting to me in terms of the process you follow on how you get shape to it. What is the form making in his own, like you said, he does this form making process whenever he can work, you know, with the ground and the architecture. But this kind of looks at it also as a form finding process. You know?
The real interesting issue is not important. When you take a carpet and the carpet falls down and makes those kind of ondulation, is it important ondulation A, B, C, D, E? No. It's the process that is interesting. So the whole issue here is that can be that specific shape or another shape does not make any major difference. Because the whole thing in some way is parametric in its essence. Being parametric in its essence is not the specific shape that is important. It's the process. So we are talking about a process that will allow that. And that's why also we do the scacchiere. Exactly. We don't do the scacchiere to do one specific shape. We do exactly to tell that the issue is to have a kind of parametric design. That is, once you have the system in operation, you know that you can have a lot of different forms. Of course, they at a certain point they model in one way instead of 300,000 others. But what is important is the process. So it's the important thinking that you can have with all these things, lots of different forms, basically. And then he decided one particular that is clearly that he wanted this, it's very important to have these three elements that were coming out. So you know that you have on the main street three pergolas arches. So those three things create that particular shape. But at the end, you know, if I did not want it that, I can do it with two or with one and change the beams, kind of change the way that the arches are supported, etc. And actually this anticipate in a way the whole process that you are going to do. So it's the process that is the crucial. It's not the actual specific shape, which is typical of this type of thinking, modern thinking, you know, goes in that direction. Valerio, che mi vuoi dire? Tu che hai una lunga esperienza di queste cose, qualche aspetto di cui parlare di più?
I was thinking about, you know, in the specific project, but it's something that we discuss usually together, which is the value of discontinuity within the city, to create new spaces, to create new things, because the project works as a discontinuous moment on a larger scale, and then within the project itself there is a discontinuity, which I think is something that also, you know, here people from Tirana should value, because, you know, now there is a process of homogenization of Tirana. Towers, all the same buildings we are discussing with Gerdi also today. There is this process about taking one model and replying it for like 1,000 times, but Tirana itself is made of several discontinuities, the organic part of the city, the Italian one, and then all the different evolutions. So I think that this project also shows this idea, how to intervene in a very different context, like the one in Barcelona, where there was already something existing, a building, but through the value of discontinuity. This is something that for me was interesting,
yeah.
I was reflecting on.
In the when Miralles was writing about this, these are the issues that he underlined. These are the issues that underlined in the relazione al concorso, etc. Exactly this, the value of this project, that in one part he creates an act of futurism, an act of, clearly of discontinuity, because it's not the restoration of the market itself, but on the other side, he kept several critical things going from the social to the function that was a market, is a market. The old people are there. Even some part of the original conception was kept, and the archaeology was revealed while before was not revealed. So all this dialectic between past, present, and future, because we are going to talk a little bit about future, is something that is there. Only my own approach is that I don't want to go through this. I want to go through action that designers can understand as design action. We are talking of design action. Boom, boom, boom. And then gradually you understand the philosophy, that you arrive to the philosophy. Because if you start off, you just talk about discontinuity, okay, then what I do? Is it just a philosophical, a narrative thing? Instead we do the opposite process. We go through substance that belong to the design actions, and for those we also understand that there is a philosophy. There is a philosophy, there is a politics, I would say, more than a philosophy. And again, this is a perfect example for my battle against identity. Because here, the whole issue is, if you use the word identity, you will say, okay, my Catalan identity will be the torero and the existing market like that. So I will kind of be sick about that. So the identity becomes a prison. Like creating, okay, the identity. What is the identity of Tirana? Let's make this thing. What is the identity of Tirana? What is that? The monumental Mussolini architecture is the previous environment. It is the transformation. It is the communist time. It is what it is. So, if you start to think of identity as something to pick, it becomes like a prison, a political act to create you, for you prison, basically. Instead, if you think that you are constantly building as a critical act, it's a critical act, it's a design act. So we understand with this project a way to interpret the story and the stratification of Barcelona. And it is this project that for one moment builds what we may call the identity, if we want to use this word, of Barcelona today. But of course that would change again. So it's a process again. Also that is a critical process. You have to accept that things are much more difficult than you think. Much more difficult. And must be a much deeper involvement in things. And I think Miralles is an incredible example of that. Incredible example of that engagement. Okay. Are there any other questions or notations? Okay. We'll do that later in the workshop part, don't be afraid. So, okay, now that we talk about all these things, I take these pictures just to talk to you a little bit about the boundaries. The boundaries are very interesting because the boundaries are changeable in the project. So these are, let's say, the more public boundary, because on the main street, in which they happen, events and things, etc. This is the boundaries on the shortcut, on the back piazza. And again, here, at the end, there is all a technical part in which there are warehouse and deposits, etc. And here comes instead the idea, along that street is the final street, he used, again, that idea of the wall as a section. I think, Gerdy, I need your stuff a little bit. Sì, un po', se ce l'hai ancora. Ah, okay. But I want to see this. It's short, just a few moments. But I wanted to have a feeling now, a little bit of the building, and then we go to the thing. Aspetta, credo la password sia sempre la stessa.
No, perché ho cambiato telefono.
Okay. Spot. Perché lui non mi concede YouTube, capito?
Ecco, no, perché l'hanno bloccato i tecnici.
Ok.
Connesso.
Ecco, fantastico.
Vediamo se ce la fa.
Sì, ce la fa. Ce la fa.
Ya fa, da posso. Mi metto un
attimo. I want to just give you a little sense. So here you are arriving from. They are entering from the housing. So you see here what we are describing as the back piazza. Okay, here there is one detail that, okay, this is the wall with the warehouses. You see that element that I was talking before. And, okay, look at this guy. Look at this monster. This is one of the beings that runs the whole thing and then they support the whole thing. So there are two that are coming out. And so look at this guy. Even here he's already 12 meters cantilever. But this is not a cantilever actually, because it's the whole length. It goes along the whole thing. So, a lot of things is this filamentous tube that you use a lot, the thing is in some part it is
thank you.
These are Americans, they are excited about the food, you know. A lot of things about the food.
I suppose. Eccoli, vedete che qua la bim diventa, i pezzi diventano più lamentosi. Now food again. Okay, here you said that the warehouse is back there. Okay?
Grazie. Grazie, mi ti stacco così non ci succhio tutta la roba, mi rimetto sul mio polis. Ok, grazie. Ok. Okay. Now finally that we get this is a nice sketch, I think. Because it shows an interesting element, you know, of that back part. It's a sketch that non lo so, l'ho trovato in rete. Si chiama Francesco Rossini, io l'ho citato, non so chi sia. I have no idea who's Francesco Rossini. It's a nice name though. And the sketch is not it's not a beautiful sketch technically, but I think it is interesting conceptually. It pinpoints the things that are interesting, you know, these, that. Anyway, okay, now finally, let's talk about the roof. So the thing that everybody knows, that becomes a landmark, that can become a new symbol of Barcelona. I was asking to my PhD student that I wanted to create a new symbol of Barcelona, what they think there is the symbol of Barcelona, and they said that Sagrada Familia. Instead, my dream was that if I have to do for a while a new symbol of what is the strength of the city, it's not the Sagrada Familia that actually never ended. They sent me clerical and let's forget it. And instead, it's really this that gives the energy of the city, the great energy of the city, and really the show how you can operate in a continuous transformation, even in downtown, and making something so important. So here are some pictures of the roof. This is not mine. This comes from the Corfi. And instead, these are my pictures because it's where I was in the housing. I was infiltrating in the housing. So it comes with rebuilding nature, right? With that idea that contemporary architecture in one way or the other create a new paradigm that is a mixed paradigm between the nature and the architecture. We don't think more of that Platonic idea of pure objects under the light. That was the Platonic idea of Le Corbusier and also to all the mechanical world. Our world is a world that must rethink of the relationship between inhabited of artificiality and naturality. We are in the phase of Anthropocene, I was tell. It's a phase we understood that the relationship between what we do as human and what we do in the nature is crucial. It's a crucial challenge for the next years. So that thinking it goes in many different aspects. Here is a poetic, a metaphorical thinking, and also many other things. As every thing that teaches the aesthetical level, or what I call also magic crisis. I said magic because in some way is the resolution that art is able to put in front of us, no? So this roof tells so many things, you know. We said already that it is in some way the memory or even the manifesto, the main function, in a way. But it tells so many other things, you know. And this idea that the ground can become the sky and the sky can become the ground is incredible. It is incredible, I think. It is an incredible emotion and an incredible beauty, at least from my point of view. Life is strange. I was curious, looking in the web, searching. There is something I can't believe. I was looking the result of 2007 Miss World Miss Van der Rohe Award. It's a very important award, and il Mercato di Santa Caterina, believe it or not, did not win and was shortlisted. So for me it was just incredible. But probably because also you don't understand all the potentials of one thing immediately, you know. I may understand that in the year 503, Leonardo da Vinci Gioconda did not win out of the last Piero della Francesca painting. You know, it can be understandable. But, you know, what happened to the Gioconda? How much the Gioconda inspired centuries and generations after and after? So, I don't want to make a big deal, but just a curiosity. This is the project that won out of Santa Caterina. Mansilio and Pignone is an interesting project. It's not a bad project, but for me it's just absurd. When I speak of Santa Caterina building in the book of Architecture and Modernity that you have, I only touch one aspect. I only say, in this project, the feeling, the Weltanschauung of a digitized world, of a raster world, start to become a way of feeling of this space. So that is like our information technology world start to penetrate our vision, our way to see, right? And then in the other part of the book, I go deeper in the relationship with information technology architecture. And that is an example, you know, even the other one as moving with this kind of digitized world. That's a curiosity. Okay, here we understand the trick. Everybody knows that this is done in ceramic. And this is done in, not hexagon, eightagon, octagon, thank you. They're done in 350 times octagon that create this thing. And, what is interesting is what you see here, that is the palette of color that they use. This is a very interesting technique that I'm using sometimes with my students now. Basically, these colors are all the palette of colors that comes from the market. So, it's a series of colors that belongs either to the vegetables, the fruits, the other things, and the wood also that is present in the market. So, that we create the palette of color they are using, and then I personally have not studied how particularly they are combined the one with the other. I don't know that. I don't think that it's completely casual, but it's clearly that the palette of colors is coming from that. And if you remember the perspective that I show at the beginning of the lecture, we were basically that is the actual interpretation of that. So here, at the end, I said something that the people always put at the beginning, and it's so boring. Ah, yes! There is Gaudi. Okay, Gaudi. Use the ceramic. Yeah? All right. Okay. So this is like saying, all right, Caravaggio copied Giorgione. You know, it's like this thing that to have a value, everything must be related to something else. What the hell? All right, yes. Also, Gaudí is using thing, ceramic, and surely there is that blood, you know, there is that culture. Catalan are very, you know, they are not like Swedish, they are very, how can I say, active and expressive people, so there is that, okay, yes, all right, and there is that blood, you know, there is that blood, but how many transformations, you know, from ceramics, etc. But it's part of the culture, it's fine. I put it at the end. And then there is this other thing, then of course everybody that knows a little bit, there is this famous inhabited roof, you know, that is of Casa Milà of Gaudí. But I don't want to, you know this, you know, I put this thing at the end as things that, yeah, of course, okay. We are happy, yes. There is a heritage of Gaudí, we are happy. What is much more interesting instead is thinking about the potentialities. Because what is this roof is also so important for the future potentialities that it has, not only for the things that is achieved at that moment, but for the way that we can look at that action today and still reinterpret and still use as a source of inspiration. And that is typical of very important piece of human culture. If there are books, there are masterpieces, right? And there are masterpieces that are, or poems that have been written 300 years ago, 400 years ago, or even 1,000 of years ago. But basically, that pieces have a potentialities that moves out of from the moment that they've been done to today, and we still rethink our world in relationship with them, you know? We kind of use something that is embodied and a little bit hidden, but it is present in that work. So I think the potentialities of this are incredible. Let's see three levels of potentialities. The first one is, this is ADA. ADA is an environment, is a computer environment that, by the way, it is done in hexagon as well. But there is a big difference, that these hexagons are places of interactive intelligence between this, let's say, architecture machine and the person. So this is an environment in which basically the architecture learn about yourself depending how you act on this hexagon. Basically, the way is that Ada asks you questions, and you answer this question going from one hexagon to the other, following certain colors instead of the others, and after a while, the machine with the techniques of artificial intelligence and other techniques start to learn about you and start to create an interrelationship with you. And so this is all, it belongs to all that type of experiment in which the environment is not only a dead environment, but is an environment that creates an active relationship with you. And that is belongs to the whole area of how information technology and artificial intelligence can go with that. So, when I see this, I say, aha, okay. Imagine that I move this environment. This is just the carpet. It is only image of a carpet. No, there is no intelligence. But what about I build intelligence? What about this carpet? It is actually an interactive environment. In 1997, when it was designed, this was not even conceivable in a way. Okay? You could, but let's say it was very impossible. Ada was built in 2002. Okay? But let's imagine that we use the potentials of this, you know? And imagine to have an environment that is not only an environment that creates a metaphor of interactivity, because with the color, of course, you have that, but also you have an actual intelligence going on, an actual relationship between the user and the architecture. So this seems something that looking from today, I immediately am inspired to do that. Then there is another thing, but that is very easy. This place would not be, it's not possible to walk on it. Of course, it was already too complicated, the project, but probably with a little bit of effort, no? This type of let's say, carpet or landscape, at least in some parts, can be walkable. I think it is walkable only in one little direction for maintenance or something like that. That is surely possible. But it clearly it's not possible to have a certain number of people. But clearly, ideally, at least some portion should be walkable for a normal thing. That would be another level of potential. Then there is another one. Okay, so this goes in the idea, and this goes with another idea. Those ceramics are just ceramics that will add to do, you know, the covering, the protection, the color. I don't know, I did not read any specific technology related to the ceramic. But, knowing with today's technology, of course we can do hundreds of things with that hexagons, right? They are not only color, they can be the most stupid thing, they can be material that can absorb the pollution to make the simplest thing. Of course they can be solar collectors, because nowadays we don't need to have panels, basically we can collect the solar energy in many different fashions. And particularly this idea is a very interesting one, that is, you know that there is a whole area of research that is it's called biotechnology or bioinformation. What is this area means that you start to study how the living elements can be incorporated in architecture. So the architecture becomes a mixture of living, really living, like a plant, living things and architecture. So architecture is not only mineral, it's also living. And this area is called bioinformation, biotechnology, and there are people that are experimenting with that. That means that they grow special algae. Generally, this is done with algae. Special algae that can serve again against the pollution, can help the production of food, or they reinforce, they can reinforce the structure, etc. And very often, the hexagon shape can be the perfect container for that thing. So that again go to our roof to thinking to a third level, no? So they can be walkable, they can be interactive intelligent, they can also send light, those elements can send light, interactive light in the environment if you want, of course. Another interesting thing that I am thinking in this moment, this can be a blackboard. Because being them pixels, these are pixels basically, I can write here, I love Miralles. Simple. Very simple. Because each of these is a pixel, it's like a screen. If I can put just light in one screen and then I use as some type of algorithm, that becomes a screen. So I can basically use this as a screen. An undulating screen like there are today. We have undulating screens. So imagine how many things can be embodied as potentials of this. If you start to look with the eyes of today, you know, 20 years or 15 years after. So there can be a screen, there can be a path, the hexagon can contain interactive information, or they can actually be bioactive, let's say, can be bioactive. Pretty amazing, I think. And what is pretty amazing is that I don't force too much. It seems to be already there. It seems already there. You know, it's not, I'm not doing any forzatura. It seems so natural. It's already there. Like in, you know, like in some painting, there is already built in what will happen afterwards. Like in Cézanne, is already built Picasso. Like in Van Gogh, is already built what is happening afterwards, you know? So I think this is rather amazing. Okay, so we finish with this. Now, what is going on? What is going on is that we think we should have groups, ideally around three people. Ideally around three people. I would have loved that the people, the groups are merged, different backgrounds, but that is only my goal. Probably would be too complicated for you. Generally, you tend to be sticked on only on the same thing. In order to pass this class, they have credits, right?
Yes.
So they have to do this. Yes. So you are not talking.
Yes.
You are not talking.
They have to deliver a
process. Yes. So you have to deliver notes. We will check your presence, and you have to do the work, and you have more or less 24 hours to do the work. This time tomorrow, you finish. Probably a little more. Okay, a little more. Yeah, around, 3 or 4, yeah. Because I have the train late. So what's going on now? This is what we're going on. We'd like, of course, first of all, to spread the class in all the different keywords that I've been using. So I've been using five keywords. Okay. These are the keywords. I said one chapter is architecture of soil. You remember. The other chapter, it is the filamentous. The other chapter is the wall section. The other chapter is ground in the sky. Okay? So, first of all, I'd like, of course, that we are spread. There is at least one project for each category. So, spread. Okay? Then, in each category, there is two or three projects. Okay? Again, try to spread. Okay? We will do an hypothesis. Okay? The groups will make an hypothesis based on Chu. And so that at the end of this afternoon, we will try to assign, be sure to assign, so that we have a kind of balance, okay? So, we say that the group of three is okay. We don't like to have a group two numerous of five. It seems to be a little bit unproductive, but you know, as a super exception, we can do. But ideally, a group of three works fine, but for certain reason, we can work a little bit more. But ideally, we do a group of three. So, you start to think who is going to be in your group and what are the two hypotheses that you'd like to work with. So what is the theme and what is the project? What we're going to do with those, it is, I will explain after lunch, okay? After lunch, I will talk what is this exercise of Cacchiera, what is the philosophy, what we are going to do, okay? But you start to move your brain, okay? There is a last chapter. I put, I call it small, I call it small teaches. That is this idea that we probably are engaged not in a specific keywords, but we want to find ourselves what is the logic that is used. So in order to do that, there is this other fifth category that is small teaches. So maybe that the group wants to put in our attention another project that I did not mention. Here I put one. I put two projects that are small and in which you use a combination of these techniques. These are the typical projects that is something that you will happen to do in your career, generally, because a more design studio or more projects you may happen to do is a little more difficult that you will happen to have a project like Santa Catarina, no? So I put these two other projects that can be projects that some of you want to analyze, or they can go in the website and maybe be fascinated by some other project. So going down, recap the whole thing. It is acceptable that we have two, but three, but not ten Santa Caterina. We want to have quite a large series of experience. So again, look at the category, and then look at the project and make the choices. And each group will give us a little piece of paper with the name of the group, the category, and the two projects. So at the end of the afternoon, we must know. We have to make this decision. So we start to manipulate. The whole idea is that the group will study the project, and then they will reinterpret, basically, with what we call a scacchiera, that is a critical model. Make it simple, but then I will explain more during that. The website of MMBT is rich, so you can go either by category, if you are more interested in one type, more open space, more things than that, and then if nothing will be happy, that you will be happy with something, you can find some other projects there. Okay? Perfect.